organization. It's actually a ministry, an apologetics ministry that goes back. It actually had its start in 1968. And it's called Associates for Biblical Research. Associates for Biblical Research, ABR. Now, a couple of years ago, Rob Sullivan had invited me to become part of this apologetics ministry by joining the board. Certainly, I just wanted to say that it really is an honor and a privilege sometimes just to be asked to join a ministry that is active in things. But I'd like to let you know this. There are 8 board members for the Associates for Biblical Research, 8. And 5 of the 8 are from Plymouth Brethren Assemblies. And I think that is pretty impressive. Not that you need to be impressed, but it just shows you something that like-minded believers and evangelicals see, that this is a ministry that really helps promote the Word of God, demonstrating that it is the true Word of God. Some of the things that ABR, Associates for Biblical Research, are involved in is archaeological digs. Okay, not all of us can do that, but I would like you to know that if you were interested to go on over to Israel this summer to help us at the current dig site we've been working on, which is at Shiloh, we take volunteers. You pay for your way to go on over. We will put you up in a hotel. You'll have to pay for your hotel. We will feed you, and you'll have work that you'll be able to do. Time off, certainly on the Jewish Sabbath, and on Sunday, you can tour around. We also have pre-dig tours and post-dig tours, and you might find some neat things. Just make a quick comment, and then that will be the end of the commercial interruption. Shiloh is where the tabernacle was for 300 years. So if you're involved in an archaeological dig, you would expect to find things that would have been centered on the tabernacle. So yes, we have found significant things. We have found horns that obviously would have been part of the altar. One of the first finds a couple of years ago, we found ceramic pomegranates. No, they were not the eating type, but they were the type of pomegranates, ceramic, small in size, that it would have been sewed to the bottom hem of the priest's garments. Well, you know, like, that's kind of proof. I mean, if you're digging and you find stuff like that in the middle of an area, Shiloh, you know, like it says, something must have happened here. Yes, we also find an awful lot of bones, because there were a lot of sacrifices for 300 years, and other artifacts. You know, well, we have also, and this is some news that on the 23rd of March, ABR hosted a major news event down in Texas, where we invited news media to come to understand one of the more significant finds that we have been associated with. But it's not about what ABR has done. The find that has been uncovered is considered by some to be more important than the find of the Dead Sea Scrolls in the caves at Qumran. What we have found, and I'll give a little bit more as we go along, is evidence that at the time of Moses and Joshua, there was a Hebraic written alphabet. Skeptics have said that there's no way, many skeptics, have said that there's no way that Moses could have written the first five books of the Bible. In fact, what we take a look at in the early chapters of our Bible could not have been written until around the time of Isaiah and Jeremiah. That's a long time from what we see. So this is it. So ABR researchers discovered the oldest known Proto-Hebrew inscription ever found, and this would have been in a curse tablet called a defixio from Mount Ebal. And so we go. Deuteronomy 11:29, written by Moses and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and something that was factual, we read this: "And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that you are entering to take possession of it, you shall set the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal." Deuteronomy, as you can see, 11:29. If you go further in the book of Deuteronomy, you get to chapter 27, of course, and 28, and you can read in a little bit more detail what that was all about. You know, like the tribes were divided up, and half of the tribes were to go to Mount Gerizim, and they were going to recite the blessings, and some of the others, the other six tribes, to Mount Ebal, where there would be the pronouncement of curses. Now, what's this all about, curses? Well, really, the nation of Israel is supposed to follow the commands of the Lord. And they would have said, we can read even in Exodus, how the people would say, all that we have heard, we will do. Well, they didn't do it. And there's other times where all that God has told us to do, we will do. Well, they didn't. So now they're in the land of Canaan. They're in the land that God has given to them. And there was also going to be a reading of the law. There was also, they were going to hear what God wanted them to do. And on one side of the valley where the mount was, there were going to be the proclamation of blessings. If you do what God wants you to do, there's blessing. And if you don't, there's going to be cursing. Curses will come upon you. Praise God that we are living in the day of grace. But still, we always are given a choice between whether or not we are going to follow what God wants us to do or not. But under grace, we are righteous and we are cleansed, and we know that we will never stand condemned in the judgment. God's not going to put curses upon our head because we do belong to Him. So you could read more about what's going on. And as I had mentioned, for years critics have argued, and I wanted you to see this slide, that the first five books of the Old Testament couldn't have been written down until centuries after Moses and Joshua. Therefore, they claim the biblical account of the conquest is unreliable, it's mythological. Have you heard people make claims like that? If you didn't before, in the back of this magazine, on the last page, I was asked to write an article, oh, maybe about a year ago, and I was the type of a school teacher when I was teaching social studies and history that used to tell my students, and Bill Longstreet considered himself a Christian, I would say, you cannot trust the early Genesis accounts. You can't trust what you read in those first five books of the Bible. You know, every ancient culture had explanations for how the world was created and how nations were formed. The Bible, it's just the same as any other culture. Praise the Lord, my eyes eventually were opened up. I wish it had happened while I was still teaching and in education. But I was championing some of the things that these skeptics we're saying. Moses could not have written it. There's no ancient Hebrew language. Moses, if he could write at all, it must have been in Egyptian hieroglyphics. He lived there for 40 years. That's what he would have heard and known. How wrong I was, how wrong these skeptics are. Now, the tablet that ABR found, now, some of you have a tablet. Colin was reading from a tablet today. I don't want you to think it was anything like that type of tablet, and it certainly was not very, very big, but it shows that the Hebrew writing is much older than skeptics want to believe. We have a director of excavations, Dr. Scott Stripling, who is, I really have tremendous respect for Dr. Stripling, and he says, on a scale of 1 to 10, this is a 10. It doesn't get any bigger than this, what this tablet uncovers. And this is what the cursed tablet looks like. Looks impressive up there on the screen because it looks so big. It's a little bit bigger than a first-class postage stamp. That's really how big it is. It's only a couple of centimeters square. Imagine lead, a sliver of lead, and an iron stylus where the etching was done inside. The curse tablet that it's called, probably, we don't know who wrote it, and we don't really know the purpose of the cursed tablet, but I would say this, it was a contract. It was as if Munford over here, having heard the blessings and the curses, wrote down that he understood what it meant, and when he folded over that lead and sealed it, he was saying, I have made a covenant with God that I understand the curses that could come upon me if I do not follow what God wants me to know and, more importantly, do. That curse tablet was found in the area of Joshua's altar. There were two altars that were found in, just a short while ago. One was an altar on Mount Ebal, and then with Scott Stripling and some other workers associated with ABR, they found that inside that altar was another altar, and by the round shape and how it was constructed, it has been determined to be Joshua's altar. And around some of the refuge that was dug around there is where this curse tablet was found. So it's very, very small. There is some writing on the front of the tablet. If I brought a first-class stamp, you wouldn't have been able to see it, but that probably serves the purpose. And the Defixio came to light back in 2019 when Scott Stripling, he led an ABR team to wet sift the discarded material from Adam Zertel's excavations on Mount Ebal. And this would be a representative of, here's Mount Ebal. This would be the area A, where the Defixio came from, but material that had been sifted through by dry sifting was brought to different dump areas. What are you going to do with the stuff that you dig up? And it's really, you haven't found anything of significance. You put it in different areas and it's just a heap of dirt. Well, the difference between wet and dry sifting is simply this. You dig up some material and you have screens, a large area, tables of screens, and you're putting buckets of, let's say, dirt and sand or whatever, and you're going through it, you know, like dirt's falling through. Well, we don't see anything. Well, probably 10 years ago, ABR started a process. We did start this process called wet sifting. And wet sifting is very similar, again, with the screening, but now you are dousing down that table and you're going through and you do find, we found the pomegranate, ceramic pomegranate by doing wet sifting. We also found the tablet from one of these dump areas by doing the wet sifting. And again, what is this Defixio, this cursed tablet? It's really a small sliver of lead, and they would etch into that lead the curses that will follow if they do not follow through on this binding commitment that they're making to obey the word of God. They understood. People understood the consequences if they disobeyed God. So the ancient Hebrew inscription consists of 40 letters, and for the sake of time, I'm just going to blitz by this, but I do want you to know that we work with other, let's say, experts in the fields of archaeology, in language, and some of the individuals that were involved. And you see how this works. There was someone who did an excavation around Ebal in the 1980s, Zertel. We have relations with Stripling and others with Zertel. We get invited to go through some of the dump sites. We find something. It's significant. We bring in some other people from Germany, from Israel, from Czechoslovakia. And with the find that we had, we could not open up just that lead tablet. By doing so, you may be amazed or amused to find out. After all, it's a cursed tablet. Are we supposed to open that up? It's like opening up the mummy's sarcophagus. Is there a curse that's going to strike somebody down? I don't think so. But also, you don't want to damage what was inside. So this Defixio was sent on over to Prague, where just like many of us have gone to the hospital for MRIs and CT scans and things like that, they have the type of equipment to penetrate the lead and almost go layer by layer a long time to see what is written on the inside. You want to see what was written on the inside? It said, cursed, 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 cursed by the God Yahweh. You will die cursed. Cursed, you will surely die. Cursed by Yahweh, cursed, cursed, cursed. 10 times in that little etching. Cursed. Curses of God. You will surely die. Surely died, cursed. The divine name Yahweh, and we have heard for so long how the Jews were scared witless to try to write down the name Yahweh because of their deep respect for God and his name. This is the divine name Yahweh in proto-alphabetic script. It's amazing. Doesn't look like anything that, you know, we would have recognized. It's being verified. The next step connected to this find is it's important in the academic world to do a peer review. Now, and will probably be in July. But the news conference in March was to get the word out of what was found before others might have gotten the word out and have done damage to the name of the Lord God. And we thought that we would be able to do this, make a presentation that gives glory to God and lets them know that this really is exciting news. It's very exciting news. And what it does for all of us is it certainly helps us and everyone know that God's word indeed can be trusted. There's truth in the word of God. You know, this fine does not now prove that God's word is true. It always has been true, always has. And it's the inspired word of God. From the moment the ink hit the paper, or in this case, if it was written in lead, I'm not saying this defixio is inspired, but it just shows what we knew all along. God's word can be trusted. God's word is true. And that is what we hope that this will also do. And it will show that what we have known all along, that, well, we thought you'd find this exciting. If you want to see more about this story and you want to find more about the Associates for Biblical Research, there's a lot of YouTube programs that we post, Digging for Truth. We have magazines, Bible and Spade. We have a lot of different articles that you can find. It's very easy to find us, although we are ABR, Associates for Biblical Research. Our website is BibleArchaeology.org, and have fun with that. It's 10:31, and it's time to go for a break. Shalom, who told me he's leaving for India on the 20th of May, and he once brought me a very nice cup of Indian coffee, which was very, very good. Would you please stand up and close our time, and also give thanks for the refreshments.